Amen. Good morning. Are you awake this morning? I hope so. Come on now. We have found, quite frankly, that the first service, you guys come, how many of you in the first service consider yourself morning people? Raise your hand. Yeah, you know what? That's what I thought, because the first service, do you realize that most people even come for the second service? They're still coming like, am I supposed to be here yet? You know, they come in, and you guys are always alive and ready, and we just kind of believe that you're folks the morning people, and you're ready to go. You're ready to get with it, get after it, and get to it. You know, I appreciate, and I want to just, before we get too far into this, actually, yesterday we had some weeds out here in that parking lot, and it's, you know, isn't it weird? I mean, I know I'm just kind of simple, but weeds just grow. You know that? I mean, if you try to grow weeds, they die, right? They would, when you think about it. You try to grow flowers, they die. I mean, you know, somebody wrote on Facebook or something that, I think it was Jen Pelizzeri wrote, you know, their house is the hospice house for plants. You know, I mean, they go there to die. You know, and that's kind of like, but we had weeds, and we did a late call. Mike put a thing out, a late call, Pastor Mike, just for some people to come. Man, we had students and people come, pull weeds, and it was done. And I just thank you for that. I appreciate the willingness just to come, and get out, get your hands dirty, have fun. You guys were throwing stuff. I saw that. But all that, I just appreciate that immense. We're going to have a great time afterwards. It's just an easy time, the kids and the bounce houses, for us to celebrate the Tracy campus as they come over as well. Pray for them as they are in the middle of going as well this morning. Pray for Pastor Ben and their worship time as well. Today I was thinking about Memorial Day. And really, as we talk about Memorial Day, to remember those who have died, who have sacrificed. And yet within, Mike, would you go up or one of you guys and just pull down steps A down just a hair? I'm squinting. You guys see me squinting? They got those lights on bright. Just steps, I think it's steps A or whatever it is. Just pull the steps down just a hair because these suckers are like, unless they make me look thin, they need to come down. So if you're running a top line, I'm sorry for this technical stuff, but I know the board. Thank you. Just a little. That's better. Thank you. I see spots. I don't see well anyway. Now I see spots. Some of you are improvement by spots, actually. That's okay, too. But as we think about Memorial Day, I know, that wasn't very nice. As we think about Memorial Day, we not only honor those who have sacrificed for our country and the families, and we honor that today and this weekend. But as you think about Memorial Day, obviously, Memorial Day in the United States is fairly young. It's not an old tradition. It's a fairly young tradition that we started. But memorials go way back to the Old Testament where Jesus said, raise a memorial. You've heard the song, if you've been around church at all, here I raise my Ebenezer. Well, that's a memorial is what it is. We look at memorials to look back and to look at our life. And so today we look at that and really, as we talk about the great embrace, and I was thinking about this and to the things that we embrace on a Memorial Day, what are the things that we embrace and the freedoms that we have? But the greatest embrace that we can have, the greatest thing is that the Lord is our salvation. That is the greatest thing. And I guess today the question is, are you thankful today? And it's such a simple question. It is just such a simple question. Are we thankful? Do we bring thankfulness? But if we are thankful for our country, thankful for the freedoms we have, thankful for the spiritual memorial that God has given us. If you know the Lord, you can look back and you can say, there's a time when God, and I want to raise my memorial at that point in time of what God has done in my life. I want to be able to look back and see this is what God has done in my life. The Lord is our salvation. But when we are also thankful, as we've been looking at the last few weeks especially, that when we are thankful, we celebrate, but we celebrate by telling. I mean, a party of one is pretty boring at times, isn't it? It is, really. Man, we're having a great time. Yeah, we're having a great time. You come talking to yourself. And yet, when we are thankful people, when we celebrate, we are to be thankful people. And as I was studying for today, I actually changed directions and I looked at the word in different people's lives of the word who were thankful. But I settled on the Apostle Paul especially. As the Apostle Paul, as we look, if you study his life, you'll find out that there was so much over and over and over that he wrote for thankfulness. Over and over. You look at Paul's life, he was born a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee. He was a Roman, and a father was a Pharisee. He was proud of that tradition. He was proud of his life. He was a, a Roman citizen, which actually came to the point of saying, wait a minute, they couldn't try him as a Jew initially because he had rights as a Roman citizen. He was born in Tarsus, and there he learned, and he learned a trade as well as he learned under Gamaliel. And so he learned the trade of tent making, but he also learned the thought of the Pharisee and the thought of all these things. He grew up into a young man knowing that within that, that he was going to persecute those who weren't as good a Pharisee as he was, who didn't follow the law, who didn't understand the law, and so he became a great persecutor of those who were believers and Christians. The Christians were scared of him, and we see that. We'll see that in a little bit. He was at the stoning of Stephen. That's what his job. He got up in the morning and the day to say, wow, this is my job today. And yet God changed his life. And this morning, I guess the question is, are we thankful? In Paul's life, and I think that we need to, and I know this is a total change in some people's life. It is a total change. It turns it upside down. But are you able to embrace the unexpected? Most of us would say, I don't like the unexpected. Don't we? I mean, really. We like kind of having things in control. We kind of like having things laid out. We don't really want to change, and we sure don't want something to surprise us. But maybe we should embrace the unexpected. Maybe instead of getting so anxious, we looked at, you know, this issue of, last week I looked over in Tracy as I spoke there about the issue of being, man, we're to be anxious for nothing. Nothing. Even like my grant, the title of the message last week is, are you kidding me? Like, I'm not supposed to be anxious about anything. I'm not supposed to worry about anything. Even my little granddaughter said, Poppy, that's kind of crazy, isn't it? You're telling me not to worry? At 9 years old, you tell me not to worry about anything? Yeah, that's what he says. Let's underline that in your Bible. At 9 years old, the worries that nine-year-olds have. At 30 years old, at 50 years old, at 60 years old, the worries. He says, be anxious for nothing. And the point is, do we embrace the unexpected? Do you realize that living on the edge like that, say, God, no matter what comes, you're in control. When we understand that he gave everything, as we sang, that we understand that he is never going to forsake us, that we can look at the unexpected and say, God is going to be revealed through that. God is going to be glorified through that. And some people hate change. You would never, man, you are in that rut. And you know what I say about ruts. It's nothing more than a grave with the ends kicked out. And man, if you get that rut out of order, all of a sudden your life is out of order. And if something happens that's unexpected, you panic. And we come to the point and say, oh God, what's going on in my life? Instead of embracing it. Man, some of you know the story of Paul. I imagine he got up that morning, started out as an ordinary day. He got up, got dressed, put his robe on, hit his Keurig, probably had it already timed, Keurig, because he was pretty ordained right there. Keurig, here's my hot coffee right there. Of course, he had to check his Facebook post before he could do anything, catch up in the world, see what Justin posted today. You know, we got to find out, you know, what's going on in the world. Probably got the paper, going to head down, get on his camel, head to the office, you know. Wherever it may be, it was an ordinary day. However, as he was on the road that day, business trip to Damascus, because he was gonna persecute the believers there, and he was looking for them to persecute. Unexpected happened. I don't think he got up that day saying, I think I'm going to have an unexpected visit from God today. But he did. Acts chapter 9. It tells of this. In verses 1 to 6, it says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. That was the purpose of his life to this point. Murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, that's what it was known as at that point, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As they neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. That is one way to start the day. God speaking to you in an audible voice. Here it is, to embrace the unexpected. I look at that, and I'm thinking, Paul probably didn't anticipate that taking place. He wouldn't have done that. Do you realize that in one word, as I was thinking through this, and I've lived this, and some of you have lived this, that in one moment, one word can change your life. One phone call can change your life. One diagnosis can change your life. The things around us. If it's bad news, it can change us in one way. If it's good news, it changes us in another. Either way, your life can be turned upside down with just one phone call. Your life can change in a moment. Your life can be turned around in a moment. And that's what happened to Paul. Whatever Paul had planned to do that day, up to that point, he says what he was planning to do. He went to get letters, so it gave him authority in the synagogues. He got those who called themselves believers of the way, and he was going to persecute them and bring them back to Jerusalem, where they would stand trial and ultimately be stoned. That is exactly what he was wanting to do. And yet within one encounter with God, within that one thing, his life changed. How, man, they were changed. Think about how God's call can come at any time. God's call to you is unexpected at times. I'm not talking just in the big ways that Paul may have within this huge light and your whole life has turned around, but how about that unexpected call of saying, man, this person next to me just may need to hear a hello. To expect the unexpected, to embrace it, to live it, to look for it. Even as I talked into the service this morning to some of our gals who were here, to look at me, do you look for the unexpected? Do you look for the wonder of God to be on display? Or some people miss it altogether. They don't see that, man, that was a God moment. That was a God thing. Do we expect it? Do we want it? Yes, it may change our day. It may change what we had planned for that day. But when do we step back and say, God, I want to embrace that which is the unexpected? The wonder of God. I think some of us, if we had nothing else in this message, that if we would just learn that what everybody else intends, the Bible says, man, they may intend it for evil, and it may be bad news, but God can turn that for his good, that everything will resound to his glory. But there's a freedom and a freshness that comes when you truly trust in the Lord, when you truly know that he is in control, that no matter what happens tomorrow, no matter how devastating it may seem, no matter how you may think it changed your life for the negative, God says it can be used for his glory. We can live in that negative. We can live in that worry. We can live in that anxiety. We can live in that hurt and loss. Or we can say, God, I noticed that and I understand that in my life, but I also know that your son took that all. But not only do we need to embrace the unexpected, Paul became a voice, and I think we need to express and embrace the uncomfortable. You go back through Paul's life. We have a desire today to live comfortably, I understand. In fact, there's in many cases today, if we suffer at all, boy, for any reason, we think life is just terrible. You've heard me say there's never a promise that life was going to be easy or fair. People are going to treat you wrong. You're going to get bad things happen to us. But what Paul learned to do is he learned to embrace the uncomfortable. And man, that guy had some uncomfortable times. We read the narrative of him in prison. Either read the narrative of him getting stoned or beaten or being chased out, being hunted, and we read and say, oh, well, that's just Paul. Think about his own inner turmoil that was going on. Think about being in prison for many times, it went up to a stage of 2 years, shipwrecked on an island, going to Rome, being beaten, all these things. But Paul learned to embrace the uncomfortable. He knew that that was to be part. The reality of our life is that part of God's plan, the greatest part of God's plan, may come to us in the midst of the storm in our life. I've said often to some of you, especially in counseling, you don't know. You really don't know. You can spout it out, and some of you are great at this, that Jesus is all you need. And we say that. But let me just tell you, you don't know the depth of that until you realize Jesus is all you have. When he's all you have, then you know that his grace is sufficient. Then you know his strength is made perfect in weakness. And then you know that Jesus really, truly is all you need. But that means that in the times of uncomfort, in times of hurt in our life, that we need to express and embrace the uncomfortable. We need to embrace that. Yes, it says in God's word, we embrace suffering. We glory in that. That by that we may be challenged, changed in the likeness of Jesus and be the ambassador to this world for him. Boy, isn't that opposite of what we so far, what our life is about? We really don't want the unexpected. We want to have our 401k. We have our life plan set up. We know where we're going to be. We know when I'm supposed to retire this and do this. We have all those things in our control. We want the control, and we don't want change. We don't want to embrace the unexpected. We don't want to embrace the uncomfortable. No, we don't want to do that. We want to be comfort. We want to have, hey, we got it together. We're comfortable now. But this morning, I'm going to ask you to embrace the challenge. To embrace the grace you do not comprehend. To embrace the grace you do not comprehend. Acts chapter 9. He talks about that. That there, listen, Paul was changed. Saul was changed, and God changed his name to Paul in that process because he had been a changed life, a new man, and he changed his name to Paul. No longer Saul. The old had gone, the new had come. But guess what? He had spent his life up to that point persecuting believers. And some were saying, oh, he's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Don't trust him. We don't believe him. We are to embrace the grace we do not comprehend. And these people did not comprehend it. In Acts chapter 9, it says, when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. But they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple or a changed person. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. We need to embrace the grace that you may not comprehend. What are you saying, Bill? Well, I think there's times that people don't think, and we don't think, that they could change. 1 Timothy chapter 1. He talks about that as well. As he's writing here to Timothy, he says, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What? Of whom I am the least. That was his view of himself. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. He says, listen, to embrace that which the grace you do not comprehend, the people of Jerusalem never thought Saul would come to know Christ. God's grace wasn't deep enough for Saul to come to know Christ. And yet look what happened within that. His grace reached down and touched him and changed him. We need to embrace the grace that we often don't understand. Sometimes we struggle to love those who sin differently than we do. You catch that? Sometimes we struggle to love and to understand God's grace for those who sin differently than we sin. We can understand it because if it's our sin, oh yeah, God loves me, he gives me grace. But boy, we look at others, we have a hard time when they don't sin the same way I do, and we can become judgmental of that, and we can be thinking, oh, God will never save them. Listen, embrace the grace you do not understand. We can't comprehend God's grace. The entire narrative of the word is redemptive grace. That's what the narrative of the word is. That God sent his grace. If we got what we deserve, we'd all be in trouble, would we not? But some have a great ability to look at the grace that, yeah, well, God didn't need much grace to save me. It didn't take a lot of grace. But God doesn't have enough grace to save that. We need to step back and embrace the fact that God can change anyone, starting with you and me. To embrace the grace you do not understand. And this morning I want you to embrace the challenge. What's the challenge? Man, over and over in God's word, he told Paul to get up and go. The great commandment, the great commission is to get up and go, to get up and move, to get up and be with it. Get up and take heart and go. Man, we have become such a malaise when it comes to our Christianity. Can I encourage you, as we talked about 2 weeks ago, to embrace that spirit of the pioneer within our work that says, man, I want people to see that I am a Jesus fanatic. I am crazy for Jesus. Remember the old song, what if people think that I'm a Jesus freak? You know, it wouldn't be bad to understand that some would see us as Jesus freaks. In love, not hateful, not crazy, but in love. To embrace the challenge that you would speak for Jesus boldly. That when we celebrate the memorial in our heart that God has changed, we're not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of Christ to our salvation, the grace that he gave to us, to embrace the challenge of taking Jesus. We have become so politically correct that we've almost become useless when it comes to the cause of Christ. But let me tell you, I was just researching. I want to give you a few names here before we close. To embrace the model of others. I'm challenging you not to be afraid to speak of Jesus. Yes, with in the right place, in the right manner, everything done in love, because love never fails. But you need to be able to speak, if God's changed your life, to realize that your grace, the God grace that he gave you, will be turned around and you can demonstrate that grace to others. Man, there's some great models of others. I was just looking through William Carey, 1761 to 1834. William Carey, if you study missions, he is the father of modern-day missions. He's an English missionary, was a skilled linguist. He would translate the Bible basically in India. He was a writer and printer. And as he got older, he started printing in many languages the Bible. Basically into India. William Carey, you can read about him. He taught himself Latin, Hebrew, Greek. And if some of you, like I grew up in the Baptist church, if you've ever heard of the Baptist Missionary Society, he began that. Adoniram Judson, up to 1850, he was a missionary, became the first North American Protestant in Burma. The unreached people group, he was the first guy in Burma. He was involved in starting a church and in interpreting the word. Look at this, it took him 12 years in Burma before he ever saw one convert. Faithful. 12 years, one convert. In fact, now there's over 100 churches, over 8,000 members in Burma, and these churches celebrate Adoniram Judson Day because they celebrate the arrival of him coming to their country but not seeing a convert for 12 years. David Livingstone, he was a medical missionary with the London Missionary Society. You need to read about him. Look these up. Just look up great, famous Christian missionaries. We don't have time to go. George Mueller, many of you know about him. He would never ask for money. He just prayed and said, God, I want to reach these kids. He would start an orphanage. He did all of this, but just trusted in God and the miracles that were provided in the way that he just out there saying, God, I want to reach these kids. Hudson Taylor, he was in China, the evangelist, and you read about Hudson Taylor, some of these, he influenced hundreds of people to become missionaries in his lifetime. Read his biography, and they just read that. There's over and over, even up to more of the present, 1951. Amy Carmichael, who was an Irish missionary, served in India for 56 years, but was never really accepted by a mission agency. Once she was single, once she didn't have this, didn't have that. But she was saying, I'm going to go share what God has done in my life. And that's what she did. In fact, 20 of the last, she never came back when she went to India. She never went back home. And many of the years, the last years of her life, she laid in bed due to an illness and an injury. More recently, many of you know of Nate Saint and Jim Elliott. It's been publicized well with the Aka Indians in Ecuador. Their desire to evangelize the tribe were killed. And their wives who remain use that as a platform to share more and more. Eric Liddell, some of you know him from the Chariots of Fire. Well, the Chariots of Fire as an Olympic runner did not compare to the heart that he had for serving Jesus. He became a missionary to China. He worked there then as a school teacher and as a missionary and a minister. When everyone was encouraged to leave China because of the occupation of the war, he chose to stay. He ended up going into a camp, and there he ministered to those people who were in that camp, and he ultimately died there. Missionaries, you're a missionary. The model of others. But let me just tell you, as we focus this down and as we end here, I know who the greatest missionary is in my life. I know who he is. His name is Bob Bartlett. And there were other missionaries after that. You know why I know he's the greatest missionary? Because he shared Jesus with me. Who's your greatest missionary today? Who shared Jesus with you? Who can you be the greatest missionary in somebody else's life today? Who do you need to share Jesus with? We talk about missions in India and China and all over, but it starts right here. Where would you be if someone hadn't shared Christ with you today? Can we embrace the issue, to embrace the great embrace of Jesus across around us should make us want to embrace others, to show His grace, to demonstrate His grace, to demonstrate the changed life. Today as we go, on Memorial Day, we're thankful for what God has done in us. I am thankful that someone shared with me the claims of Jesus. I am thankful that someone shared with you the claims of Jesus. Will you share the claims of Jesus with someone else? Father, this morning as we come, I pray you would help us to embrace the unexpected, that we would learn and live to look for you in everything. That, Father, this day that we would see that change will take place and you're in all of it and you can use all of it. May we impact our sphere of influence today. Thank you for such great grace that's available to all. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Pastor Paul.